All right. Well, let's have a Bible study. Open up the Bibles to Revelation. Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 first. We're going to talk about four major weapons to use against the enemy. And the first one is the power of the blood. The power of the blood. You know, we sing psalms about the power of the blood. But here's an interesting thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. How important do you suppose it is to understand that you're completely, totally, 100% forgiven? Verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So the very minute you get born again, you get made a new creature in Christ. A new creature in Christ has no past. A new creature in Christ has no past. I don't care how many times people rehearse their war stories. They're just digging up something that God has forgotten. And He would prefer that they forget it too. And go forward in Him. Then in verse 21, it says, for He was made sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Righteousness is one of those religious words that gets thrown around a lot and misunderstood a lot. But what you have to know about righteousness is it means right standing. It's absolutely imperative that people understand what this means. You are now, when you get born again, you are now immediately in right standing with God. Whatever was wrong between you and God before you asked Jesus to be your Lord got washed away by the blood of Jesus when you got made a new creature in Christ. All of these things happened at the same time. You got justified freely by His grace. You got made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You became a new creature. And now you got placed in a position where 1 John 1:7 says, if you walk in the light as we are in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. What's that mean? There's a waterfall of forgiveness. The shed blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. That's a continuous cleansing. All of your sins, when you got born again, all of your sins, all of your sins got washed away, got taken care of. And most people will say, yes, when we got born again, all of our sins got washed away. But from that point on, we have to ask God to forgive us when we make mistakes. No. He forgave you already. If you would listen to Him when you're on your knees asking Him to forgive you, you'd hear Him say, I already forgave you 2,000 years ago. Because remember we said all of your sins were washed away. That means past, present, and future. This bugs a lot of religious people when I say your future sins are forgiven. They say, well, how on earth could your future sins be forgiven you? Well, honey, unless you were standing at the cross when Jesus got on there and shed His blood, every sin you ever committed was a future sin. From that point. Amen? See, we got to get locked in on this. We have to understand that the blood of Jesus is a continual cleansing. You know, what happens to people when they're continually asking God to forgive them, they get a sin conscience. And when you get a sin conscience, you lose confidence with God. You lose aggressiveness in the spirit world. God wants you to have a righteousness conscience. So how do we take care of these mistakes when we make one? Say, Father, I thank you that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I thank you that you have forgiven me for this sin already. And if you just absolutely have to continue to talk to him about it, say, would you help me with this? Because this really irritates me. I don't want to be involved with this no more. But declare your righteousness first. The devil wants you to declare your sinfulness. God wants you to declare your righteousness. Amen? Jesus did not come here to condemn you. He came here to justify you. And you've been justified freely by his grace. How can I say, you know, a curious thing about justification? People don't understand this a lot of times. You can't be justified until you've been judged. Every one of your sins were judged on that cross when Jesus was on there. And then when God raised him back to life by the power of the Holy Spirit, you got justified freely by his grace, just as if I'd never sinned. We got to think about these new creation realities sometimes. This is the very basics of faith. This is where you really get your roots in faith, from the new creation realities, by looking at what he did by grace. You know, here, wondered about the Ten Commandments. They're plastered all over the place. You know, they have lawsuits over the Ten Commandments, putting them on courthouse lawns, you know. They're on almost every church wall in the country. You see them all over the place. See, the church is supposed to be operating in wisdom. You know where God kept the Ten Commandments? In the Ark of the Covenant. Covered by the mercy seat. Out of the sight of the people. There's no way a man can fulfill the law. Only one did, and his name is Jesus. And he fulfilled the law and put us in the dispensation of grace. And now he wants you to have a righteousness conscience. You want to put 10 things about God on that wall? Put 10 things that Jesus did by grace up there. Amen? Watch people shine. Paul called the law the ministry of death. We want to look to Jesus. You want great faith? Look to Jesus and see him in his grace. Watch faith build up in your heart. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 says, they overcame him by the power of the blood and the word of their testimony. What is your testimony? Is it your war story or what Jesus did? Find out the new creation realities that Jesus did for you. That's going to be your testimony. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I am the healed of the Lord, and I say so. I'm justified freely by his grace. That's your testimony. That's your testimony. The other stuff is a war story, and it's a waste of time. I mean... If you need to use it to tell somebody that you know where they've been, you know where they're at, you know how to get them out of that, and this is the trail to get out of here, then do that. But you shouldn't be focused on your past. Amen? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Well, look at Romans chapter 1, verse 16, while we're on that subject. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. So, there's our second weapon right there, the power of the cross. The power of the cross. You know, the Red Sea was dry. When the children walked across, it was dry. But the Bible tells us that during harvest season, well, not the harvest season, but that Red Sea is a big thing. Did you see any pictures when they had that barge hung up in the Suez Canal? That was a big barge. And the Red Sea is not far from there. But Moses parted that sea. That was the power of God. And also, God made the sun stand still. Can you imagine that? He stopped time. The sun stood still. Jesus showed up when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they got thrown into an oven that was heated 7 times. And that guy that stood there and he said, I see one in there with them that looks like God. He didn't know God from a goat. But he seen Jesus in there. And those guys walked out of there. They didn't even have their hair singed. They didn't even smell like smoke. But the guys that threw them in there died from the heat. That's the power of God. Daniel got thrown into a den with hungry lions. And there was not even a bite. The Bible didn't even talk about them lions sniffing him. But the cross defeated hell. All those amazing things through the Old Testament cannot even bear comparison to what the cross did. The cross defeated death, hell, and the grave. Sin, sickness, poverty, everything related to the curse. This is important now. Every time you're reading the Bible, you have to discern where you're at in here. Was this said before the cross or after the cross? You see, a lot of times people will say, well, Jesus said this, and he did. But did you know that Jesus had to fulfill all righteousness? He was an Old Testament preacher. And when he was dealing with people under the law, he taught them about the law. One of them said, what do we got to do to get heaven? He said, you got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. How many of you heard somebody say, you have to do that? How many of you have tried that and failed? Why? Because it's the law. People don't like to hear that. Well, it says after the cross was believed the love that God has for you. When you believe the love that God has for you, loving somebody else is going to be a lot easier. And I promise you, if you're trying on your own efforts to love people, the devil is going to be right there to show you, you know, if you would have loved these people, you would have went and bought them some groceries. If you really loved these people, you would have went over here and did this for them. If you really loved God, you would do more service work in church. If you loved God, you'd be out in the mission field more. If you loved God, see what I'm saying? He's always going to find a place for you to fail. But if you're believing the love that God has for you, you're going to find yourself helping people that you normally wouldn't even talk to. You're going to find yourself going places to minister to people that you normally wouldn't go. But that's the power of the cross. You know, one thing you can do when you pray for people, and you know that there's some demonic influence, hold the power of the cross over them. Hold the power of the blood over them. Remind the devil how he's defeated. He does not like the cross. He does not like to hear the cross. He does not like to hear the blood. I remind him of the blood and the cross every time. One thing you have to do, though, go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. This is Jesus talking now. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Now, go to John chapter 14, verse 12. Any of you ever encountered in the legal world the power of attorney? You know, sometimes when we have a loved one that just really needs help and they can't take care of stuff themselves, they'll sign over power of attorney to you. That means you have the legal right to go do business in their name and use their name. You know, that's the same thing a husband does when he gets married. Yeah. One guy, he couldn't understand. I was working at this place, and he had this hand there that wanted to get paid early, and so he called our boss's wife and said, I need to get paid. And she said, no, you're going to wait until Friday. So he got mad and he started telling me about it. And he said, will you call him? I said, no, she said Friday. And he said, well, what did she know? I said, she spoke in his name. She said it, it's the same as him saying it. He couldn't understand it, and he kept going, and finally he went and got a hold of the boss, and the boss showed up and said, what do you think? I said, she said Friday. And he looked at me kind of funny. I said, she said it, that means you said it. Amen? See why it's so important to pay attention to who you marry. You don't want somebody out there saying something that's completely off the wall. You're in a covenant. Amen? Well, that's what Jesus did right here. John 14, verse 12. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Right there, he just gave you equal authority with him because of his name. And it's right there in red. That's Jesus himself. He said it. Now, here's the coolest thing ever in the whole wide world. You don't have to rely on your faith no more. It is not about you. If you'll see this, faith will be easy and faith will overflow in you. If you'll see this. Jesus said, you do the asking, and he'll do the doing. And all you got to do is use his name. Amen? We just do the praying. He does the doing. And then God gets the glory. How hard is that? For some people, it's really hard. So they find themselves what they might call themselves spiritually unfit. They don't feel like they can pray for somebody because they didn't pray for 2 hours in the morning, or they didn't read their Bible for 3 hours in the night, or they didn't pray in tongues long enough last week, or they didn't fast enough times this month. What is that? That's their own efforts. They made it about them and what they can do. You want to know the truth? You can't do nothing. There ain't much about you that can do anything in the spirit world. But in him, and in his name, you can move mountains. But it's got to be about him. Now, the name of Jesus. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name. In the King James, they have a name, but I like to cross that out when I can and put the name. Given him the name, which is above every name. Now, that's the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow at things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's some curious things now. Right there it tells us that every name must bow its knee to the name of Jesus. You know, doctors come up with these names of these diseases. And some of them are mile long. They sound horrible. And they strike fear in people's hearts. Did you know that it's a name? It's still a name. No matter what kind of cancer it is, AIDS, any kind of disease, whatever kind of disease it is, it's a name. And it must bow its knee to the name of Jesus. This is the authority that you've been given. Remember John 14, verse 12, he gave you his name to use. Now, all these diseases, all these names have to bow their knee to the name of Jesus. Every once in a while, I run into some hardcore Satanists, and they'll just be cursing God. Some of the things they say is just absolutely horrible. But I'll say to them, just to get them to shut up, I said, one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God, and they just shut up. They don't go, no. The conversation is over. They don't say anything else. I've never had one say anything past that point, ever. It's strange. They just go completely silent. Well, it's the truth, but it's the Word of God. Here's the thing. Go to John chapter 1. I was wondering about this. You know, I don't ever seek out prophets, but God, He had told me to go find this one prophet up in Andrews. And I went up there, and he was preaching, and I sat through the meeting, and I didn't say anything, I just sat through the meeting. And everybody was walking out, and I was walking along, and I looked over, and I said, "Oop, you got anything?" He said, "Look up the meeting's words." I said, "Okay." So I needed to go get a concordance and start reading that thing and looking up the meaning of these words. Look at this. Verse 1 said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." For years, I thought, comprehended it not. I thought they just couldn't understand it. That's not what it says. That's not what it means. The light, the darkness cannot overtake the light. When you're speaking the word in a situation, the darkness cannot stand up to you. When you're using the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the power of the cross, and the word, the darkness cannot stand up to you. Remember, in Revelation 12, they feared not unto their own life. But also, Jesus said, "Nothing shall by any means hurt you." You can have boldness in dealing with these people. Amen? And realize that it's the person, for the most part, has some demonic influence behind them, causing them to do strange things. So your battle is not with flesh and blood, but it's against these spirits. That's why it's so important to use the Word of God. But the Word, nothing can stand up to the Word. This is kind of a funny story. My first pastorate, I was an interim pastor up in Wyoming in a little church. But I went up there and I said, "Now, first thing we're going to agree is Jesus cannot lie, God cannot lie, Holy Spirit cannot lie. It's in the Bible. We're going to look at it, we're going to accept it as the truth. Especially if it's in red." So I preached the full gospel. From being born again to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being healed, all kinds of different stuff. The whole thing about salvation. One day, but I had a habit. When I found something, I'd take it and I'd say, "Now look, it's right here in the Bible, it's in red. Remember what we agreed on. It's the truth." They say, "Okay, we're going to agree with it." We go through it and read it. And we deal with it. One day, a couple of guys in suits showed up. And I'd been preaching the baptism of the Holy Spirit and tithing and all this different stuff. These two guys showed up, and I got done preaching, and they hit the door. You know, so Everybody would always go drink coffee and cookies right after the meet, after church. So I was back there having a cup of coffee and some cookies. I said, who were those guys? They said, well, one of them was the regional head of pastors. And one of them was the state head of missions or something like that. I said, really? So what denomination are we anyway? I said, Southern Baptist. Nobody can stand up to the light of the word. But you have to stay 100% with the word. It can't be tradition. It can't be what mama said. It can't be anything else. It has to be the Bible. So these people were receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit in there. And having a good time. Receiving the gospel. But there was no doctrine. It was just the Bible. One lady had been going to church for 30 years. Come up to me and said, are you telling me that I don't have to get water baptized to go to heaven? And I said, no. You got to get born again to get to heaven. Well, I don't have to be water baptized? No. She said, I want baptized. I said, okay. She said, I've been waiting for somebody to tell me I didn't have to be water baptized to get to heaven. What was going on? Tradition? Well, right here out of the Bible is what people are really looking for. They want the truth preached to them. They want to know how to win in this life. Amen? Well, thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for everything that Jesus has done for us in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We thank you for everything that Jesus does for us on a daily basis as our high priest, making intercession for us, and taking our prayers, taking the feathers off of them, and presenting them to God perfectly by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for everything that he will do for us when he comes and gets us on that glorious day and completes our salvation. Completes our redemption. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.